Amen. You may be seated. Well, you know I'm going to ask you, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Yeah, I trust you just came rowdy, right? Now, remember, you haven't eaten any of the turkey yet, all right? That's Thursday, all right? It's usually next Sunday that, you know, folks come in, you know, a little bit slower. Of course, we never let that happen, right? And, of course, you know, I noticed here this morning that there might be a few gentlemen that are missing that might be normally here, and I can't help but wonder, does it have anything to do with hunting season? Oh, my goodness. Wives, you just go home and you tell your husbands, Pastor Tim noticed. Praise the Lord. Hey, someone's got to go out and put food on the table for us, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But I tell you what, you know, I enjoy, you know, outdoor activities as well. But I'll tell you what, there's nowhere where I'd rather be than right here, right now. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Romans chapter 10. And today I'm going to call this message, The Power of the Spoken Word of Faith. Yes. The Power of the Spoken Word of Faith. Folks, it is time to get back to our foundations of the Word of Faith message. Amen. And that we know and understand, of course, more now than ever, it is essential to know what faith is. It is essential that we grow our faith, and it is essential that we use our faith. Amen. And we just, you know, we know that God's got a good life for us. You know, Jesus said over there in John 10:10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. You know, how many of you know that God has an abundant life for us? And when we hear that, people always want to, you know, tack on a financial meaning to that. Well, God certainly is abundant towards us in all ways. Amen. But that means he's going to give us a full life, a rich life. Amen. And, you know, again, it's not just a money thing. It's a satisfied life, a full life of knowing him and obeying him. And when God says he's going to give us the abundant life, he's just saying that there's no limits with him. I'll tell you what, we've got to get back to, not that we ever left it, but we've got to be reminded just how unlimited our God is. He is unlimited in his ability to help us. He is unlimited in his ability to bless us. Amen, to move us into a good season. Are you here today? You know, we might as well just go ahead and get excited about the fact that the unlimited God has pointed his blessing at us. He loves us today. He loves us every day. Amen. And of course, we remember what it is, you know, what is it that brings change to this life? Faith does, right? You know, what is it that, you know, what resists the devil? Faith does. What brings the healing power of God? Faith does. What accesses all the promises of God? Faith does, right? And so it's essential for us to know what faith is and how it operates, and we should make sure that we are operating in that faith, you know? What, you know, we just are reminded, what is it that pleases God? Faith pleases God. And so let's operate in it. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you here, you know, today that I know that there's, of course, several people that are going through stuff, and, you know, there's always trials about, especially in these days and so on. Well, folks, I'll tell you what the answer to every one of those trials is faith. Using faith, not depending on somebody else's. All right, thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ who will pray for you, and thank God for a church family that will stand in agreement with you. But folks, it is time for us to daily use our faith. Amen. And of course, this is one of the principles that this church is founded on, right? Amen. That we've got to know faith, we've got to operate faith. I want you to help me out here. I'm going to have you fill in the blank with some familiar phrases from the scripture that many of us are familiar with, all right? And so when it's time to fill in the blank, you just go ahead and shout out the answer. But the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Notice we don't just get saved by faith, we live by faith. And that means a constant using of our faith, consistent, you know, redundant faith, repetitive faith. Every single day, we should be applying our faith to many things in our lives and many folks around us. Amen. All right, we know the scripture, and we're going to mention this verse probably a few times today. But the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Folks, if you're wondering, if you're feeling or sensing or just straight up just know that you are not overcoming in this world, the answer to get to that place is faith. Because the Bible says that faith brings us victory, and it overcomes every challenge in this life. I'll tell you what, there's nothing that faith can't change. There's nothing that faith can't overcome, but God's not gonna use our faith for us. I'm not gonna use my faith, you know, faith just for you alone, you know, instead of you. We've got to use our faith if we're gonna be victorious, amen? And the Bible tells us that we walk by faith, not by sight. So circumstances don't matter. Faith matters. Circumstances are not the variables that we should be so heavily concerned with. What we believe should be our concern. What we're saying should be our concern. Amen. Whether or not we're exercising faith should be our concern. Now go to Romans chapter 10, and today we're going to just start right from the beginning to look at the process that God has ordained for us to receive faith and to use faith. All right? And we're going to give you some examples here today. We're going to read this passage. We're going to start in Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. And I'm going to read all the way down through verse 17. And folks, if you want to, you know, have more of God in your life, this message is for you. And just a heads up, there's going to be a lot of teaching in this here today. And some of us are going to feel like, well, I've heard this before. No. Listen. You are going to spend eternity with the Word of God. This won't be the last time you hear this, and there's none of us who have perfected this daily, all right? And so we need to hear this. But we're going to start in verse 8. We're going to read down through verse 17. And in context, Paul is talking about his desire, Paul the Apostle, who is writing by the Holy Ghost here in the Scripture. He is talking about Israel and his desire for people that he loves to be saved. Is there anybody in your life that you'd love to see them come to Jesus and serve the Lord? And he's expressing how that happens, and that's the context in which he says these things, all right? And he's talking about how faith for salvation is exercised, all right? And so let's go to verse 8. In context, he's talking about the righteousness of God. How do we obtain righteousness before God? See, the Jews, they believed that it was through works and through, you know, rituals and religion. But Paul is obviously making the point here, no, it's not through rituals that you received righteousness from God. It's by faith that you receive righteousness, just like Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him as righteousness, right? And so that's what he's talking about. In verse 8, when he says, but what saith it? Or let's put that in English, what does it say? He's talking about what does the righteousness of God say about this? You know, of course, it's the Word of God, but specifically it's talking about the righteousness of God. But what does God say, or what does God, God's righteousness say? It says, the Word is nigh or near to you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the Word of faith which we preach. And the term word of faith there, it literally is translated the spoken word of faith. That term word there is actually the Greek word rhema. Has anybody ever heard of that word before? Okay, three of you. Wonderful. See, it must be a little too long since we preached this last time. All right. It says literally the spoken word of faith which we preach. Notice it's called the spoken word of faith. And he says in verse 9 that if you shall confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How many of you have done that before? Yes, that's how you got salvation. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession or speaking is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek or the Gentile. For the same Lord over all is what? rich unto all that call upon him. He's abundant. He's merciful. He's gracious to everyone that calls on him. Amen. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Everyone say good things. Aren't you glad we're hearing the gospel of glad tidings and good things? Folks, how many of you know that's the heart of every message that is coming from your pastor, right? When we hear the good things preached, amen. Of course, there's time. We need conviction. We need correction. We need to address certain things at certain times. But the gospel does what? It brings glad tidings and good things, no matter what's going on in the world. So are you ready to hear some good things here today? Yes. And then he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? And so now the Bible says that there's people that hear, but they don't believe. They hear it and they don't believe. And so verse 17 is the answer for hearing and not believing. He says in verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so sometimes people don't believe it the moment that they hear. And so they've got to hear and rehear and hear and rehear. All right? Amen. So what we're going to do here this morning, usually I read the passage of scripture and then I go back to the top of it and I teach our way down. But today we're going to teach our way back up. We're going to start at the end of this passage. All right? And we're going to teach our way back up. All right. So starting in verses 14 through 17, and you don't need to bring, just leave it right there on verse 17. But we see, do you see this process that God has ordained for us to receive faith and to exercise faith? Do you see this process? How many of you see in the Word, it all starts with a preacher? All right. A preacher will then speak the word, and then the word of God is heard by the hearers. How many of you know that's taking place right here today? All right. And so this is the process or the system that God has developed for us to get and to release faith. The preacher preaches the word of God. The word is spoken and then heard by the hearers. And at this moment, it's a critical moment. When you hear somebody preaching on the promises of God, when you hear it, that is an extremely critical moment for all of us. Because it is at that moment where we're either going to decide to believe it or not believe it. All right? The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, it says, there are those that hear the word only, and they what? Deceive themselves. To hear the word and not believe it at that moment is to bring deception upon yourself. It is not the devil doing it. It's nobody else doing it. It's the it's yourself that will deceive yourself if you don't do the word. All right? And so we hear the word. We have that critical moment where we have to choose to believe it at that second. See, that's why it matters how you hear. Because there's a lot of people, they will sit in church, and they'll just wander in their mind. They'll pass the time. See, it's going right past you. You cannot actively be believing what you're hearing if you're distracted, if you don't care, if you shrug your shoulders, if you're thinking about a football game today, you know, or you're thinking about what time it is and you just want to get out of here. Well, guess what? All of God's blessings is just passing you by, right? Because at that moment, you've got to have a decision to believe it, to receive it with urgency, right? Because this is a critical moment. You will either let it into your heart and believe it, or some will just hear it only. Others will, of course, take it and receive it. There's some that will have to hear it over and over and over before they start believing it. And we've all been in that situation. faith does not come instantly just on hearing a doctrine one time. Right. All right? So we hear and we hear and our faith will grow. And then when it's in our heart, when you've truly received it, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And in this passage, he says, and then with our mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Yes. Okay? Confession is made. So we hear the spoken word of God preached. We receive it with our heart. We then speak it out of our mouth through a confession of faith. And then our change starts to work. Amen. Faith starts to churn on our behalf. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. And so this is that process when we release faith. Go back up there to verse 10 now. Go to verse 10 as we make our way back up through this passage. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Believing with your heart puts you in right standing with God. Believing with your heart gives you an audience with the Heavenly Father. You've got to first believe it in your heart. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, you cannot go home and just regurgitate what the pastor said. You are going to have to spend time in the Word for yourself and build it into your heart. And we're going to talk about how you know when you truly believe something, but it's not just something we just go and repeat, you know, because the pastor said it. It's got to be genuine in our own heart. All right. He says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession or speaking is made unto salvation. Everyone say salvation. Salvation. Now, of course, first and foremost, this means we are saved from our sins. We receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But how many of you know that that's not the only definition of salvation? You know that that word, salvation, is the same word used in the New Testament for deliverance. Amen. Yes. So it means salvation. One definition of the word salvation means deliverance from your enemies, or literally deliverance from captivity. There's many things in this life trying to put us in captivity. All right? But confession with the mouth, we speak, all right? And captivity is broken. Amen. Isn't that what salvation is? Yes. Amen. That word salvation, it doesn't mean just to be saved from our sins. It means deliverance from captivity. And it also means this, healing in your body. It's the same word that is used for healing. So notice the potential of this process. We hear the word. It gets into our heart. We speak out of our mouth and change starts to happen. Yes. All right? Yes. Amen. Deliverance from our enemies, health in our bodies, and salvation eternally. Aren't you glad? Yes. So now we know the potential of what can happen when we hear the word preached. Think of the potential that is here today. Yes. You can believe something. Start speaking it out of your mouth, and all of a sudden, radical change starts to churn and starts to happen for you. Folks, if you want a new season, if you want to start walking higher, if you want to walk in God's protection, if you want to walk in God's blessing, if you want to walk in God's healing, this is the process that He has ordained for us. Amen. All right. God ordained this process of change through faith. Think about it. When a sinner believes in their heart and speaks out of their mouth that Jesus is Lord, all of a sudden, eternal life comes and replaces eternal punishment. Right. Yes. Think about that. Right. All of a sudden, they're no longer in the power of the kingdom of darkness, but they're now translated into the kingdom of light. Yes. Think about all the things that we have already overcome. Can you real quickly, can you bring up 1 John chapter 5 in verse 4? I told you, I knew this verse was going to just come up again. We already quoted part of it earlier in service. All right. Look at 1 John 5, 4. Go ahead, bring that up. Praise the Lord. 1 John 5, 4. There it is. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And I'm going to ask, and you're all going to put up your hands, right? How many of you believe Jesus is the Son of God? So the Bible says when you believe that, you've already overcome the world. You are an overcomer. Think of everything you've already overcome by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. You've already overcome, through Christ, sin. You've overcome the power of darkness. The kingdom of the devil, you've already overcome it. You've already overcome all those doubts that tried to hold you back. You've overcome those thoughts that tried to prevent you from receiving Christ. Think of all the things. Can you bring up Colossians 1:13? I'm going to keep, my son is actually at the helm up there with the scriptures. Yeah. So if he messes up, we're going to get upset. Colossians 1:13, here's a verse that just changed my life. It says, speaking of God the Father, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You've already overcome the power of darkness. You've overcome sin. You've overcome hell. You have overcome eternal punishment. Aren't you glad that your faith has overcome all those things? So if faith can overcome all that, how much more can it overcome anything, any challenge in this world? Amen. That's why the Bible says it's the victory that overcomes the world. It's our faith. Amen. So when you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, salvation replaces eternal punishment. Deliverance replaces captivity, all through what you speak. Healing replaces sickness, all by what you speak. Strength replaces weakness. Love replaces hate. Patience replaces haste. Confidence replaces fear. Joy replaces depression. Provision replaces poverty. Aren't you glad? Can you bring up Luke 4:18? Luke 4:18, I know we're working them out up there today. Doesn't this sound like what Jesus said when he started to preach? Come on, are you here today? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is what Jesus started to preach. Why did he say, I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor? Because why? They believe it in their heart. They release it out of their mouth. And we know that poverty will be replaced with provision. Amen. Aren't you glad? He says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In the next verse, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But do you see how the gospel comes in? It replaces captivity with deliverance. Amen. Sight with blindness, provision for poverty. Why? All because someone heard the word preached, believed it in their heart, and started speaking it out of their mouth. Folks, what things are trying to bind you? What kind of things are trying to get you into captivity? Worry is a place of captivity. All right. I mean, what do you think, this virus and all this stuff going on in our world is trying to do? Is trying to put fear. Fear is a place of captivity. Political turmoil and fighting and strifing, that's a place of captivity. You know, sickness, disease, fear, worry. Come on, amen. Notice the potential that is here today for you to hear something and to speak something, and all of a sudden your change starts to churn in the place where you don't see it. All right. You remember the old movies and the old steamships. Like maybe you remember the movie about Titanic, you know? And I'm glad Jack didn't. Oh, never mind. I'm kidding. Are you here today? All right. We remember, of course, maybe it's in that movie. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. It's nothing I've watched. I haven't seen anything like that recently. But remember, you've got this huge ship on top of the water. And underneath the water are those enormous propellers. okay? And they would stoke the flames of the burners and get the steam going. And they would order, you know, the captain would order, you know, forward gear or whatever. And they'd get that thing going. And those big, you know, turbines and pistons are moving down there. And they show the picture of the propeller. And it's like, whoa, whoa. Whoomp, and it's starting to turn, but the ship is still going nowhere because it's not enough to move the ship yet. But it's under there, and it's churning, and it's under the surface. No one can see it, but the momentum has already started, and once the momentum builds up, that ship is going to start moving. Your faith works in that same way. It starts to churn under the surface where you can't see it. And as you speak it day by day, it starts to build momentum to the point where things in your life start to change around you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So now go back to Romans 10:8. Is it all right if we just teach here today? Yeah. Pastor, I'm going through this. Well, what are you speaking? Not that it's your fault that you're going through that. We know that we all go through stuff. But what faith are you releasing? Pastor, you know, I'm going through this. I'm facing this. I need this, need that. Well, where is our faith, right? Are we speaking? If you're going every day without releasing confessions of faith, you are leaving your life vulnerable. Because the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, by faith we resist the devil. By faith and patience we inherit the promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, faith is exciting. You know why? Because it works. Look at Romans 10:8. Now, again, we're moving up the passage. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we've declared to you. Notice that your help right now, it's not sitting in the pastor's office. It's not sitting on the throne with God, so to speak. Your help and your answer is in your seat with you right now. It is in your heart to be spoken out of your mouth, and that will start bringing the change that you need and desire. Amen. Isn't that true? Yes. So what is the preaching for? When you come to the local church, what is the preaching for? It's to get the word near you. This is why we've got to be here. You know, it's not because, you know, I have to go to church. No, you want to be in church, right? So you get the word near to you. Notice, because you can't have in your life what's not being preached from the pulpit. But the good news is, whatever's being preached from the promises of God from the pulpit, guess what? You can have it in your life. That's why we sing that song. We have what we've heard. Amen. It's absolutely true. Yes. The preaching is to get the word in your heart and so that you can speak it out of your mouth. The spoken word of faith. Yes. We could say it this way. The word of change is with you right now. Yes. The word of change is with you right now. Oh, I'll tell you what. Some folks must have stayed up too late last night. It's going to help you. It's going to help you. All right. Yes. Amen. The word of change is in our heart to be spoken out of our mouth. Yeah. See, we have the ability right now to steer the ship in a different direction. You know, all of a sudden that verse, can you go to James? Everyone go with me. I was not planning on going here. Go to James chapter 3. Go to James chapter 3. I was not planning on going here at all. You know, as I was speaking, all of a sudden these verses started to play like a reel on the inside of my heart. And I know when that happens, it's the Spirit of God leading me to show you this. Yeah, here we go. Go to James 3:1. If you want a change in your life, you'll love this. I'll tell you what, there should be things that we are confessing every single day. We say all the time, I say it every single day. all right, just to give you some illustrations, not that this is the most important confession of my daily faith, but it's something that we all have in common and that we can understand. I say this every day, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what? It gets to the point where, you know, that is already taken care of in my mind. When we say it enough, when we believe it enough, it just lifts that burden off of our lives. Amen. We should be saying things every single day. I say things over my wife every day, whether she knows it or not. I say things over my sons every day, whether they hear it or not. What are you saying every single day? Look at James 3:1. Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, meaning the words that they speak, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Notice your words have the potential to bridle your entire body, all right? You know, I'll tell you what, if you have addiction issues, this is how you get free from addiction. Start calling yourself free. Start saying, I am delivered. You know, that was why Colossians 1:13 meant so much to me. Because when I first got saved, I was under the bondage of an alcohol addiction. And it went off in my heart when it said, God, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Because I was crying out every day like, Lord, please just take this away. Like so many Christians, even pastors tell believers to pray that God would take it away. I'm here to tell you, he's not gonna take it away. He already did at the cross when he nailed that addiction to Jesus's cross. Jesus took the wounds upon his flesh. He shed his blood for that addiction. There's nothing more that's gonna need to be done. What needs to be done is that we hear the word and we start saying it out of our mouth, I am delivered from that addiction. I would say that every single day, I'm delivered. Until the point, January 18th, 2003, I never had another drink again. Why? Because I'm delivered. But I didn't wait for that to randomly just take place in my life. You know? We don't go to God and say, hey, God, save me if you feel like it. He said, I already have provided salvation for you. We'll talk about that here in a minute. I'm telling you, people got to get stirred up. You got to get, you know, a purpose and a desire to release your faith. If you don't want anything different, guess what? You aren't going to have anything different. If you're okay with everything being the way it's always been, you're going to have just what it's always been. Well, I'm just so depressed all the time. How come nobody helps me? Well, I'll tell you, we want to help you. God wants to help you, but we got to get the word flowing out of our mouths. Amen. Why? Because our words bridle the whole body. Verse 3, it says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Has anyone in here ever ridden a horse? All right, several people. I have a few times. Give me a motorcycle any day. Oh, man. At least on that motorcycle, I'm the only brain sitting on that thing. You know, I've had horses start to get jittery and jumpy and running when I didn't want them to, and no thanks. That's a big, powerful animal, right? 1,000 pounds or more, 1,200 pounds. They can be a very, very big animal. But have you noticed what controls that massive, powerful animal is what's in their mouth? That little piece of steel that they're chomping on that's connected to the reins, it is the steering apparatus. It controls that whole massive animal. In the same way, what controls or steers your entire life? The words that you speak. Look at verse 4. Speaking of the ships, behold also the ships, the boats, the big boats, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor or the captain wants it to go. Look at verse 5, and it tells us what? Even so the tongue is like the rudder of the ship. Even your words are like the bit in the horse's mouth. You can only have the direction of which you are speaking. You can only go. You cannot exceed the words of your mouth. You cannot go higher than what you say. You cannot go higher than what you hear, what you believe, and what you speak out of your mouth. If you're saying how hard and how bad everything is for you in this life, guess what life is going to be? It's going to be hard and bad. You know, if you're talking about how broke you are all the time, guess what you're always going to be? Broke. Somewhere, somebody has got to start saying something to get that propeller churning. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to say, but my God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. Amen. What if you got convinced in your heart that your needs were all met, that you would never worry about it again? What would that look like on your life? It says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let me put that in English for you. Look how a little spark can start a massive fire. Do you know how those forest fires out west are always getting going out there? Most of them are started by an ember that was cast from a person. Usually by cigarettes or something of a fire or whatever. Some of it started by lightning as well. But how many of you know that there has been hundreds of thousands of acres that have burned in our nation because someone flicked a cigarette out the window and it just created tiny little sparks and it ended up devouring huge portions of land, all right? Now, that's the negative sense, okay? Wrong words can devour things that you don't want to be devoured. But how great a good matter can be started? How great a good matter could build? How many know a forest fire like that, it builds over time? You know, it builds when the wind is fanning those flames and moving that. Every time you speak faith, you are fanning the flames of faith. You're moving and growing that blessing bigger and stronger in your life. Your tongue is like the sparks that started a forest fire. Your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. It is the bit in the horse's mouth. We've got to hear, we've got to believe, and we've got to speak. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ in our nation right now is getting away from this. Folks, when I say this with love. Some of you act like you don't care. And I'm telling you, this is not a threat. It's a warning from love. When we act like we don't care, I'm telling you, faith, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith. Without what? Hearing. Without believing. Without speaking, we cannot please God. Yes. You getting something out of this? Go to Mark chapter 11. Boy, I tell you what, it excites me. Because right here in my hand, I've got a book filled with divine promises that say these things will manifest in your life. These things will show up all around you if you'll build it into your heart and speak it out of your mouth. There's nothing that faith can't change. There's nothing that it can't overturn. There's no healing that it cannot cure. You know, there's no sickness that it cannot cure. There's no depression that it cannot relieve us from. Glory to God. It is time to speak and say some things. Go to Mark 11, 22. Let's look at Jesus explaining this process. Again, you know this passage. Go right to verse 22. Jesus is responding to Peter, who was really amazed that Jesus spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. And Jesus' response to Peter was not, he wasn't surprised. He's explaining how it happened. Jesus answered and said to his disciples, have faith in God. Now, everybody right now, look at your Bible in verse 22, right next to the phrase where Jesus said, have faith of God. Do you have a little star or a little letter or a little study note there that refers you down to the bottom of your page or to your center column? Is there anybody that has that in your Bible? All right, several of you do. because it's giving us the original rendering, where it says, have faith, the faith of God, or have faith like God has faith. Yeah. Have the God kind of faith. Aren't you glad to know that God has faith?
Yes.
Yes, he does. This is how God's faith works. Look at verse 23, and many of us could quote this in our sleep. He says, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. All right. So notice this person must have believed it in their heart and started speaking it out of their mouth, right? Told the mountain to move, but notice there is a requirement here in verse 23. You got to believe the words that you speak, that you speak. So let's answer this question. How do you know that you truly believe something? How do you know that you truly believe something? You know you truly believe it when you believe the words you say. We all say we believe what God said, but do you believe what you say? How is it that you come to a point where you believe what you say? It's because you say it over and over and over again. That's why he says, if you say to this mountain, if you believe what you say, you'll have whatsoever you say. If you say, if you say, if you say, and believe what you say, right? Okay, you see this process? If you say it and believe it long enough, all right, you'll come to a point where you are absolutely convinced, all right? This happened in the Bible. Go to Romans chapter 4. How do I know that I believe something? You've said it so much, and now there's nobody that can convince you differently. No one, no discouragement can take it from you. No doubt can take it from you. No person can come in and discourage you from it. Oh, no one can convince me. You could all walk out on this church today and never come back, and I would say this, 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full in Jesus' name. You know, you can, like, as far as I'm concerned, I've said that so much. It's like I've moved on from it. I've moved on from it. You know what I mean? Like, because it's paid in full. Well, Pastor, we still technically have mortgage payments. Yeah. But see, we're going to see here that God calls those things that be not as though they were. And as you take time to release the God kind of faith, you'll believe what you say. You'll believe what you say. Hallelujah. I've been saying for over a decade over my wife, she is strengthened with all might of the Holy Ghost to her spirit. And as I've said that every day, not that I'm taking credit for it, but it's just part of it. I have seen this, a supernatural element has been added to my wife's ministry. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What if you said something like that? What if you took scripture and spoke it over your spouse every day? Instead of telling them, I hate it when you do this. I hate it when you do that. I don't like this. Why did you do that? Come on now. Well, let's get into this passage of scripture here. Romans chapter 4, get towards the end of things here. Romans 4, and let's start up in verse 16, and we're going to read down to verse 21. This occurred in Abraham's life. Abraham was given a promise. He believed it, and then he spent 25 years saying it. Over and over and over until something happened within Abraham. Watch this. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, talking about the promise of God that he made to Abraham. Remember the promise that God made to Abraham? He said, you're going to be the father of many nations. Now, of course, Abraham was 75 years old. He had no child. He was the father of nothing. And then there came a day when God said, yeah, take a look at the stars, Abraham. And see if you be able to count them. because your descendants will be just like that. They will be innumerable. And Abraham looked up and said, okay, I believe that. I believe that. I'm the father of nothing, but I'm going to believe what God said, because it's far better to believe in an unlimited God and an abundant God. It's better to believe in the big promise than all the nothing that you can look at. Do you see what I'm saying? So many Christians are just believing the big nothing they're looking at when they should get into the Word of God and start just believing in this unlimited God. God does not cap the blessing. God does not cap the healing. God does not cap the prosperity on our lives. We do. We do. Of course, we don't live a life that's selfish and greedy and just think about having stuff all the time. But if we follow God with our whole heart, we should look into His Word, just like Abraham looked at the stars and he said, God is unlimited. It sure beats the nothing that I'm looking at. Amen. I'll tell you what. A lot of people criticize this city. You know, a lot of people say that this is a whole big nothing, you know, in terms of this city. I tell you what, I disagree. I would rather look into here, and I would rather say that those who sit in darkness shall see great light. Those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has sprung upon them. It sure is better to say that than all the nothing that people are seeing. I'll tell you know what? Your natural senses, guess what they see? They see nothing. But the eye of faith sees everything. Amen. The eye of faith says, I see unlimited potential. Amen. But Christians are sitting around waiting for somebody to carry their faith, waiting for God to just randomly bring it. But did the promise of salvation happen to you randomly? Why do you think any of the other promises would? Why would you think any of the other promises? To get saved, you had to hear. And you purposely had to believe. And with purpose, you had to speak. And then by faith, you took hold of salvation, yet you've never been to heaven. And if you have in your back, let us know. We'd like to talk with you. But you know what I mean? How many of you, you know, that are born again, you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you don't even think about the idea that you might not go to heaven? Is there anybody in here that's born again that you sit and think, maybe I won't go there? Because when you're born again, you know it. So much to the point that you've moved on, so to speak, of being concerned about your salvation. Why? Because you believed it. You're convinced of it. You put action to it. You don't even question it. Billy Graham could be raised from the dead and come in here and say, you're not saved. And you'd say, I'm sorry, sir. Yes, I am. Kenneth Hagin could be raised up from the dead and, you know, come in here and point in your face, say, you're not saved. And you'd say, well, I kind of believe that. No, you wouldn't. You would say, no, I don't believe that. You know in your heart. I'm just trying to wake you up here a little bit. Because when you know it, you know it. See, what has happened? You become fully persuaded. And now your mind does not even think about going to hell. Amen. The same thing happened with Abraham. Watch this. It says, the promise of God is by faith that it would be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Let's look at the faith of Abraham. As it was written, the promise of God to Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations. That's actually what the name Abraham means. When God gave him that name, he was giving him a confession. That's what he was giving him something to say. Why? Because the word has to be near you. It's got to get into your heart. It's got to get out of your mouth. And so he says, Abraham, I'm giving you a new name because I'm going to get my word near to you. He said, before him, whom he believed, Abraham believed God. Now, what does God do? Who quickens the dead. God takes death and turns it into life. How? He calls those things which be not as though they were. The body of Christ, this church, has got to get back to calling those things that be not as though they were. How many of you know we say every Sunday morning, we say, and say it with me again, all Chautauqua County shall be saved. Notice how eager you are to confess that. Now, we say that it shall be saved. But is every human being born again right now in Chautauqua County? No, but we're calling it that, right? We call the things that be not as though they were. Can you call your body the healed of the Lord even when there might be pain in it? Yes, you certainly can. Yes, that 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full. But guess what? There's still mortgage payments coming in. You know, however, in our minds, it's a done deal. Do you understand? Okay, because we're calling those things that be not as though they were. That's what God is. He looked at a man who is the father of dirt. Yeah, that's all he had was land. He had no children. He had nothing, you know, as far as children goes. He says, look at the stars and see if you be able to count them. That's how many descendants you're going to have. Right? Amen. And so he says, Abraham, I'm giving you this name. You're the father of nations. At the time, his name was Abram, and he looked around and thought to himself, really? Because it looks like I'm the father of nothing. Even isn't that what Abram said to him? He said, really? Because my heir is somebody, a servant in my house. Remember that? And God said, he shall not be your heir, for your own child shall be your heir. And he was 75, and Sarah was 65. And even that was at the age where that's not exactly childbearing years, okay? Unless you're Clint Eastwood. Woo, praise, just checking to make sure. I don't know, these guys, these Hollywood guys now, them and their wives, they're having children, you know, late in life through the miracle drugs and so on, right? But it moved right along there, and 25 years later, at nearly 100 years of age, that child still had not shown up. Let's keep reading. I know some of you are really shocked and awake now. Woo, we're just about done here. We're just about finishing up right now. Who Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, meaning he had no natural reason to believe, meaning it looked hopeless. He looked at himself. He said, that looks hopeless. He looked at his wife, said, that seems hopeless. This whole thing seems hopeless. You know, the fact of the matter is that circumstances are going to try to talk to you and try to tell you how hopeless the promises of God are in your life. And he said it was hopeless that he would become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body. Considered not his own body. Why? Because the body itself is not where healing comes from. The body itself is not where strength comes from. Stop asking your body if you're healed. He considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered. Now remember, in context now, verse 19, it brings us ahead of the story when he's 100 years old. All right. It's been 25 years now. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. How do you give glory to God? With your speech, with your mouth, with your words. So what was he doing for 25 years? Father, glory to God. I'm the father of nations. He believed the best he could. He was giving glory to God. But did Abraham have a falter when he was believing? Yes, he did. Remember, he faltered in his faith, and they, you know, had that little scheme with Hagar, you know, and Ishmael was born. Remember that? He went and tried to have a child with a different woman at the recommendation of his wife, which is really odd. See? Yeah. I mean, where's Jerry Springer when you need him, right? I got to keep you awake some way or another, right? Okay. And so Abraham had this major falter of faith, but he just kept growing in his faith as he what? Gave glory to God. And look at verse 21. Again, this is talking about when he's 100 now. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised was able also to perform. This is still the same passage. The scripture says that at 100 years old, Abraham became fully persuaded. He became fully persuaded. as he said, for 25 years. What it was, we weren't waiting on God. God was waiting on him. He spoke and gave glory to God about being the father of nations until he reached a point where Abraham believed what he was saying. He believed what he was saying with his own words. And then what happened, as soon as Abraham got fully persuaded, Isaac was born. It took Abraham 25 years to become fully persuaded. Doesn't have to take that long for us, because we have teaching, we have the word, we have promises that Abraham did not have. And so we can speak and speak and speak and speak and speak. Amen? And that promise that starts building, that faith in our hearts builds up till we believe what we're saying. How do you know that you fully believe? When you believe what you are saying out of your mouth, that you have said it over and over and over. What are you saying over your home? What are you saying over your job? What are you saying over your marriage? What are you saying over your church? What are you saying over this city? This city does not need any more naysayers. Amen. You know what? I love this town. Praise God. I tell you what, you know, I go a lot of places. I see a lot of places and everyone, you know, talks so highly about. I'll go through those places. I said, these places aren't as nice as our town. Our town is better than this. Amen. And I don't mean it to be, you know, so competitive, but I'm telling you what, some of the greatest acts of revival are about to take place in this city. In this city. Amen. In this region. God said he's going to do it again. I believe he's going to do it again. What he's looking for people that will start saying he's going to do it again. Oh, when people say, oh, I don't like this about this area. I don't, you know, I'm just going to get on it. Why am I saying this? Listen, folks, we joke about the weather. You know, I hate the weather around here. People say about the weather. Well, what in the, are you saying that your joy is found in the weather? You know? People will move right out of the plan of God because of weather. That's how shallow they are. Well, I got to go over here because I like more sunshine. I got to go where it's warmer, you know, and they'll move right out of the plan of God. Whoa, boy. What are we saying? How do you know that you believe? You're fully persuaded. A thought can come against it and it just bounces off you. Discouragement can't take it away. People can't take it away. What are you saying? Oh, if you're in a leadership role, I'll tell you what, this is how you lead a staff. This is how you lead an organization. This is how you lead a business. This is how you lead a church. This is how you lead. You speak. You know, someone's got to declare some vision, and somebody's got to believe it and start speaking it. Folks, let me ask you, what is your vision at home? What are you speaking? What are you and your spouse saying together? What are you agreeing on? Listen, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The just shall live by faith. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. When you realize that this is not for reading, but it's about building faith, it's going to get exciting to you. Because I can take these words and I can process them in my heart of faith and say, this is what's gonna manifest around us. This is what's gonna manifest around me. This is what's gonna manifest around you. I believe faith works. I believe in abundant God. I believe in an unlimited God. I wanna be just like Abraham that looked up at those stars and said, yeah, I'll believe that. Sure beats what I'm seeing around me, because we walk by faith, not by sight. Did you get some help here today? Yes. How are you going to take this message and apply it to your life? That's going to be the goal. That means you digging out scriptures. Here's one for you. How about Psalm 91:16? Right? With long life, the Lord satisfies us and shows us his salvation. I say that every day. Lord, I thank you. You satisfy me with long life. Yeah, why? Because we owe it to our loved ones. We owe it to God to be as long living and as effective on this earth as possible. Yes. Yeah. What about, you know, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5? Especially the end of verse 5. It says, by his stripes we are healed. Don't have to wait for a sickness before we start claiming that. We're the healed of the Lord. We already quoted, you know, Colossians 1:13. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We start speaking that, saying that. I have a Rolodex, not an actual Rolodex, but it's a little binder of index cards with literally hundreds of verses in it. And I'll just go through that and I'll just say them. I'll just speak them. But the Bible isn't for reading, folks. It's for meditating on. Did you get some help here today? Let us pray. Father God, we love you and we praise you. And Lord, we thank you for the process that you have given to us, that we can have faith, that we can grow faith in our heart, and that we can speak faith out of our mouth. Father, we know that the powerful word of change is near to us right now. It is in our heart. It is in our mouth. It is the word of faith that we speak. Father, we just praise you. Father, I pray that those that are within the sound of my voice, that they would pick up this message and start living it like the Bible says. Now, Lord, of course, I know there's many people here that are living it, but that we would all pick this up and in a greater measure put it to work in our life. Father, we know this world is filled with a lot of pitfalls, a lot of things going on, a lot of trials and such. But Lord, we are so grateful that we can get the power churning, that we can start getting the faith momentum going. Father, so often we think we are waiting upon you to initiate something. Lord, it is clear in your word you are waiting on us to initiate something. Father, we just praise you and worship you. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Father, just like Abraham, he looked up into those heavens, he saw the stars, and he said, I believe God. I believe this unlimited, infinite God. Father, you are so good. You are bigger, you are greater than anything we face. And we give you all the praise and glory today. With all eyes closed and with every head bowed, ask yourself this question in your heart right now. Have I made Jesus the Lord of my life? Have I personally done what Romans 10:9 says to do? It says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is so great when God's light replaces darkness, when God's kingdom replaces the devil's kingdom, when freedom replaces captivity, when joy replaces depression. It's all because of what we hear and what we speak. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it all begins right there. So if you're here today and you've never done that, I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand. I'm not gonna make you stand up or anything, but right there in your seat, all eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you wanna make Jesus the Lord of your life, when you lift your hand and I see it, I'll just have you put it right back down, and then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus your Lord. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life? I see that hand, thank you, you can put it down. Is there anybody else that say, yes, Pastor, I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I need to be saved. I need my sins to be forgiven. I need my sins to be washed. Anyone else before we pray? Well, we did have someone respond. Let's all pray together. If you responded, if you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Talk to God. Be sincere. He will hear you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Folks, I encourage you, if you need to stir yourself up in the things of faith. Folks, it doesn't even take that long. Sit down for a half an hour. Pull out some promises. Turn them into faith confessions and start speaking them every day. It takes just a few moments to say it every day. Get that power working in your direction. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Also, too, I know there's a lot of people that they feel like, you know, life is beating them down real hard right now. And, you know, they almost feel like overwhelmed to get this kind of faith assignment. But folks, I'm telling you, this is how that burden lifts. This is how you get those answers and get that help. Let's all go ahead and just give God the glory here today. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, you are faithful and good. Father, we thank you for the word of faith. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. You are dismissed.